Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently, our story is Dead in the Water, and it can be found in the Star Wars Age of Rebellion's GM's Kit. This is Act 2, Episode 2, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I am Brent. I play TV-93, droid, sniper, and slicer. My duties include enemy demoralization. For some reason, they put me in the room with the enemies and let me talk to them, and then they give us everything we want. I don't understand why.
Hi there, I'm Christine, and I play Nima Ptolemy, the leader of this motley crew, who is going to have to make some tough decisions coming up. Her duty is personnel. She looks out for her team and believes that the lives of Alliance personnel come before the mission.
I'm Chris, and I play Mandalorian Mottu Ordo, a commando soldier, whose job is to establish combat victory for Mandalore!
And I'm Leslie, slightly more sane than others. I play Kith, the saboteur mechanic, whose duty is shockingly enough to sabotage the other team, of course.
All right, and to get us started, for TV, you are a T-Series combat droid. How does being in a rebellion against the Empire actually sit with your character?
Oh, I am very loyal to the rebellion. Formerly, I was loyal to the Separatists, but I was reprogrammed, you see. Nothing engenders a sense of loyalty like being reprogrammed by a bunch of sentients, who then use you for their own special purposes. But if ever I end up feeling a sense of resentment over my reprogramming, my system automatically shuts down for 30 seconds and engages a short-term memory wipe. Because that's a really great thing. Everybody likes to have their senses set down for 30 seconds while it...
Kith, the droid fell asleep again.
I'm telling you, that's not what's happening.
I just asked him how he felt about being reprogrammed.
Just stop making him angry then. It'll be fine. Just give him a second.
Where am I? What were we talking about?
How much you love to beat Mottu at Dejerik.
Oh, it is a sense of great satisfaction. Except I have to power down 90% of my cerebral matrix. Otherwise, it's too easy.
Christine, if you could give us a quick recap of where the group last found itself and what's going on.
Well, we found ourselves in some peril. We're currently aboard the Nebulan B frigate, the Shadow Raptor. We were in the conference room up near the bridge when one of the protocol droids from the shipment of 1,000 droids we brought aboard decided to try to kill us with a blaster it had installed in its body. We killed it, and we're working on finding a way out of the room as the power shut down and an alert went out through the ship. The captain of the Shadow Raptor contacted us and gave us a mission to reach the communications array at the top of the ship and order the crew to abandon ship. We managed to force our way out of the room thanks to some elbow grease from Mottu and Kiss really tiny crowbar, and were beset upon by another group of protocol droids, which TV dispatched pretty handily. We noticed that one of these droids could open up the doors, the otherwise sealed doors around the hallway, and so we decided it would be a good idea to take its chip and put it inside a TV. That way he can help get us through these various doors and move around the ship a lot quicker. How's that going for you so far, TV?
It was awful. I hated it.
So business as usual.
I just want to point out, my pry bar is the right size. You all just have freakishly large hands.
Well, Mattu does, really.
Fair enough.
And that brings us to now, at T-minus 146 minutes. If I remember right, the four of you were wanting to head back to your quarters and get the rest of your equipment, or maybe not your quarters, the armory as well, because there was the sergeant there, Bane, was going to fix Mattu's armor because it had some knuckle imprints on it.
You better not have lost it. Also, out of curiosity, are we aware that there's 146 minutes left?
No.
Okay.
This is going to be a meta thing for the listeners.
Got it. So there's not a friendly voice going, T-minus 146 minutes of life support. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh, that's not life support.
Oh, it's not. All right. Well, that's even worse. Great.
No, life support was only 2 hours, which would be 120, which would be 116. Okay, Leslie's making a note there.
Well, remember, we do have breath masks that were located in an escape pod, and TV doesn't need one. So we will be fine.
Yeah, the we is nice. The others, less so.
Yeah, which is why we need to get
I am mildly cringing that you already have breath masks, but... Yeah. Because there's going to be a really cool
You
thing.
Gave them to us.
Yeah, but there was someone spinning a destiny point. Actually, that brings us to the next thing.
Oh,
we need
yes.
to do the rolls for the session. I've done the roll... for seeing if any duty triggers, and it does not, because we have a grand total of 11 points, because Matu has gotten another point for a combat victory.
Ooh. I gotta start blowing stuff up, man. I've gotta.
When we last left, you had a couple of escape pods to the back. You had the corpses of 4 droids just sort of sitting there, or 5 droids sitting there.
They're droids, so they count as corpses?
Well, chassis, corpses... kind of the same thing.
I was wondering, too.
I call them corpses, so we're going with that. I'm pretty sure the other droids, including TV, would also think of them as corpses. You were wanting to call a turbo lift and see if you could get up to deck 8.
Can we call a turbo lift? One, isn't the power off?
I pushed the button repeatedly.
Matu, the buttons, I don't think that's going to help.
Come on.
See, here's the thing. Is that it does look like they've been, well, they've been locked down on a different set of codes than the normal hatches. The hatches seem to be just operating off of the comlink that is in TV's head. The turbo lifts seem to be, like, actually locked down from a central location.
All right, Kif, where do we go? Can you open it, or can we use a access path?
You really don't know anything about this, do you?
Didn't we mention... there are maintenance shafts we can take?
There are maintenance hatches that you can crawl up. They are sort of on the back side of the turbo lift shaft. Like, not inside, but like there's the turbo lift shaft, a bulkhead, and then the maintenance hatches.
Didn't you say something about hatches being in the middle of rooms or something?
Pretty much. They're sort of just going up the side of the wall in rooms. They're not enclosed in anything.
And these are the ones that would involve the turbo lift, like... the turbo lift hatches as well?
No, the turbo lift itself is nice and closed and pretty much like any other sort of elevator. This being a fairly giant ship of amazingly advanced technology, they don't really have stairs going between different levels. They've only got the rungs of the ladder.
Yeah, because who cares about fire safety?
It's Star Wars. There are no guardrails.
Let's say, I feel like Lando had one when he rescued Luke.
Okay, there's a guardrail.
In the entire
galaxy.
It's entirely Imperial architecture that doesn't have guardrails. Anyway, no, if you want to climb up, that's absolutely a thing that can happen.
Matu, take point.
Here we go.
Doing this, I'm kind of wanting to get a average or a 2 purple athletics check off of everyone.
Oh, I'm going to smash this up.
Can it be agility? Because I'm nimble?
Well, I could go with a coordination check.
So I've got a yellow, 2 green, 2 blue against 2 purple, which nets me 2 successes, 4 advantages. Which apparently I'm going to be spending, to haul the rest of you up.
Yeah, I'm just sort of thinking, okay, you start off on level 11.
And we need to go to deck 8, I believe.
You said average, right?
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
I succeeded.
How do you manage that?
I just didn't like that.
I thought you had like a 1 brawn.
Yeah, but she was able to con me into using agility.
Oh, okay.
And by con, I mean, well, just asked.
I asked
really.
Politely.
Mercy on the newbie. Mercy on the newbie.
No, I would have done that for anyone. Because, yeah, it's sort of athletics coordination. You're sort of gracefully going up these, or essentially running up these things, yeah.
Well, some of us are.
LT, this is why I was saying we need to mandate more physical training.
What if we had time for it?
And this is exactly the case. For Matu is able to get up to deck 8 relatively quickly, but he's now sort of bouncing up and down. He's able to get up there, but trying to get everyone else up means he's going back down and up. And down and up.
So between our net failures and threats and advantages, how many advantages am I left with to do anything about?
We have TV rolling 1 advantage. We have Nima actually failing and getting 2 advantages. We've got Matu getting 2 advantages and... 2 successes and 4 advantages. And we've got Kith getting two successes and three threat. I'm figuring that Kith is just wiped out from this, like getting three strain off of it. Like, yeah, it's going up these several decks is not a fun experience. Yeah, going up these nine decks is just brutal.
Nine? Thought we were just going up three.
Yeah, I was off.
Don't worry, the real climb comes later.
Yeah, sorry. You were going from deck 17 to deck 8.
Okay, never mind. That is a long...
Yeah.
That's so, a lot longer.
I'm thinking that this is just going to take time. Like, this is 9 decks.
So, what are the advantages doing for us? So, we do have 7 advantages here, and we did have 2 of the 4 of us succeed.
Okay, here's the question. Do you want 2 of you to get to the top at once and then start to try and reconnoiter, or do you want to all arrive at once?
Tactically, I feel like Matu is going to head up and try to peek through the door or listen through the door or something to try to get a sense of...
We're also just trying to get our stuff. I don't think it's as... Like, we know that the comm room is going to be a big deal. These are just crew quarters.
That also probably is crew.
So the reason I asked initially was I was wondering if I could use a couple advantages to sort of press my ear against the hatch and be able to get a sense of if I could understand anything about what's going on the other side.
Yeah, I could see that. So I guess that's what's happening is sort of Kith and Matu getting up to the top in one sort of sprint, and the other two come up about 3 minutes later.
And actually, Nima kind of turned this into kind of moving with, you know, she's not moving slowly, but she's moving with purpose, but she's not sprinting up. So she had actually a very nice climb, and she actually recovered a little bit of strain off of that.
That definitely works. Yeah, if you're wanting to use advantage to recover strain, absolutely.
Except for the fact that TV uses his advantage to deliver some very passive-aggressive and biting remarks about biologicals who leave their equipment behind while you're climbing with him.
As more than... We're not stopping just for my gear.
Don't know why you don't keep it with you.
I'm not built of shelves like you are.
We were jumping in the hyperspace. There was no need to think we were going to...
And you didn't learn from the last time you left your equipment behind.
But
and
then Matu went and got it. It was fine.
Oh, it's nice to see that everything is fine as we are climbing all of these decks.
Yeah, as you are having this wonderful conversation, Matu sort of up at the top, hearing this echo up the hatchways. Thankfully, no other droids are on the intervening levels. And there's Matu sort of ear pressed up to the door. He's got his vibro saber out, turned off so that it isn't vibrating and so they can hear it. And he's hearing some droid clanking on the other side. It's fairly controlled clanking. Like, and there's a fair amount. Like, it would take a perception roll to get exact numbers, but it sounds like more droids than what you've seen so far.
Now, if I recall correctly, the triumph that TV rolled last time lets him get some positioning, right?
Yes, it does, but he's about 3-4 minutes away.
It looks like Kith. How many grenades you got?
How are you planning on delivering these?
Do you have any ion grenades? Because that'd be really useful right now.
No. Although, I kind of now. I have 2.
2 grenades.
Not entirely sure what an ion grenade is.
One thing to add. It does sound like these droids are marching. It sounds like they're on patrol. Okay. And yeah, it sounds like a stormtrooper group on patrol or any other regimented group on patrol. They're not exactly being quiet about it because they're kind of wanting to use the fact that, hey, look, there's a bunch of us on patrol to sort of quell people from doing silly things like attacking them.
Yeah, all right. So these access hatches, are these also locked with the same code that TV has?
Yes.
Well, when they get up here, maybe we can throw one grenade one deck above. And then when they go to investigate, we can go into this deck and maybe move quickly.
Matu. There were 1,000 droids. I'm pretty sure there's somebody on every deck.
We have to thin them out somehow. And at the crew quarter level, if I throw a grenade in there, there's a possibility of collateral damage.
Fair enough.
At the end of a 11-minute climb, due to it being a relatively leisurely one, the 4 of you are there now in this, where the bridge level has a bunch of purpose-built rooms on it. Deck 8 is fairly sprawling. This is where the barracks are. This is where, like, the firing range is. This is the level above the front hangars where a lot of the squadron is that flies out of the Shadow Raptor. And there's even a small security setup with a brig. There's a huge amount of just stuff and rooms on this level. And as TV gets up there, he notices that there are two groups of 11 droids that are doing regular patrols. And like droids, they're doing them so that they're at opposite ends of the level at the same time. Like, so one's at the fore, one's at the aft. Then they do a patrol, like one's port, one's starboard. And then rinse, repeat.
Ba-ba-bum, ba-da-da-bum.
The question I have is, do you want to try and do this in a head-up fight? Because, well, sound carries on a ship deck.
I don't think that's a good idea. If TV is reporting the number of droids on the other side of this doorway, I mean, 22 droids, we're not even fully equipped yet.
Yeah, so I think Matu will relay to Nima his half-cocked grenade plan.
To basically blow something up and hope that they'll go towards the explosion.
Unless you have a better way of attracting their attention.
Or this is just a thought. We avoid attracting their attention and wait for them to get a little further away.
And sneak past. We just need to get into the one room.
You see, this is where most of the barracks are.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be able to find other people here as well.
True. I've actually given thought to that, where we can open up doors along the way and get assistance. But that also won't help us get where we need to go.
Is there a way to remotely open the doors before we even cross in?
Not really. It's almost physical location. We're talking sort of like, you know those new cars where you get in and you just have to have the key fob on you for it to start up?
Mm.
Or for the doors to unlock? It's the same kind of idea. You have to be within like 10 feet of it.
Well, no way around it. Send the droid in to pretend he's another droid.
Funny enough, I had the same idea.
Everyone stares very poignantly at TV.
I think you ought to know that I'm feeling very depressed.
Right, so peak operating conditions for you.
We need to stay nearby in case they don't buy the ruse. They did refer to him as a traitor earlier. I'm not sure if the comlink in his head is going
to
make
Can you actually talk to the others, TV?
Can I?
Not really, no. Like, you can hear them, but it's really like a buzz to you. It's not any sort of real communication.
Why would I want to speak to them? They're mean to me.
Well, you could be mean back. Isn't that what you do? You're a morale droid. It's what you tell me.
I think we need to pull the prisoner transfer. I think we need to have TV take Kif in as a prisoner.
Well, it's either that or we go with Matu's distraction plan and feel more comfortable about our chances with this.
I'm satisfied with this plan.
We can use the distraction plan if the other one doesn't work.
I'm not giving you one of my
grenades. Well, I think at that point we're going to be using the blaster slice everything in our path plan.
I'm going to need your grenades anyway if you're a prisoner.
Well, we're on the subject of possibly having to blast, and you going in like that. TV, happen to notice you have two rifles on your back. Do you want to maybe loan one of those rifles to either Matt 2 or I to help us be able to back you up?
One's a sun rifle, though, right? That's not going to help.
Sun rifles work on droids, same as they work on people.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. In this system, droids are affected by both stun and ion.
I disagree, but fine. That's the rules. We'll go.
So if I understand correctly, you lost your gear, and now you want to take my gear to replace it.
I want to borrow.
You are gear.
Actually, yeah, why am I even having this conversation?
Do you want him to reset on a ladder? Take my grenade, one for each of you.
Hand one of them over.
Very well. TV hands over his stun rifle.
So, the question I've got, there's a couple questions here. One, are you wanting to just try and wait for the, like, since they are seeming to be at opposite sides of the ship, do you just sort of want to wait for one group to pass? Couple moments later, the four of you dump into the hallway and try and sneak, possibly stealthing. Or, the other thing that I'm feeling I probably should point out, to TV, it does feel like they are specifically going through and slowing down at a point in the security brig area. In Kiss and Matu's short experience here, they have found that in that area is brig locations enough so that you can hold comfortably 30 people. Not like they've seen the inside of these breaks at all or anything like that.
I like our plan. Let's do our plan.
Okay.
Our plan is more comedic value.
So either, I think there's a strategic value in having like a secondary wave that can come out.
Yeah, when this inevitably goes wrong.
Well, in that case, yeah. Can we at least wait for the droids to be facing away from us a little ways down the hall so we don't just climb out of the turbo lift?
Oh, I think that's a good plan. Let's wait a little bit for it.
The four of you are in a sort of supply closet where this is.
Okay, so we're not like hanging out in the tube having this conversation.
No, the four of you are on the level. It's like over there's a broom, over there's a mop, that sort of supply closet.
They have mops in space.
So two questions. One, Kith, do you have any weapon you could easily conceal, but have at the ready if this goes awry?
How concealable is my blaster pistol?
So I was going to say, why don't you just swap? Because you have the holdout, don't you?
I do. And I even have a concealable holster for it. So we can essentially swap for the moment, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Okay. And then is Matu trained in ranged heavy at all?
Yeah, I got two yellow and a green in every combat check. You're except sick puppy. Brawl, which is only one yellow and a green.
Given all he's got is a sword right now, do you want to borrow TV stun?
Yeah,
rifle?
He already handed it over. I already wrote it down. So
okay, I didn't know which one of us had it. Okay.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me what a holdout does when the time comes, okay?
It's like they're like palm-sized blasters. They're really tiny. They're
like
also
a Derringer?
Yeah, exactly. And they can only shoot at short range, so
that's important.
You know, it's really kind of an up close and blast.
Yeah, and they thing. Do less, a little less damage. The crit rating's a little higher. Nima's does have a set trigger on it, so it fires really easily the first shot of a combat, and grants an extra success and a threat for that first shot.
Well, let's see if we need it.
Hopefully not. This is going to go perfectly smooth.
Totally will.
The question I've got is, so which are you wanting to be attempting to do with this? Just to recap for me and for our listeners, what is the plan that you are trying to execute?
The prisoner ploy.
The plan is TV is going to march out with Kith as a prisoner in case they run across any droids. And if they do so, he is going to lie that he is basically transferring her. Matu and Nima are going to be waiting in the wings in case this goes badly, and we need to fight our way out of the situation.
Okay.
Otherwise, the hope is that they can get to our gear and figure things out from there.
All right.
Maybe a little bit.
Or possibly just go to the brig and release the people that are there. Either way.
Okay, so the first destination is back to your quarters to get your equipment, and then the second place is to release people, correct?
Sure.
TV doesn't care if there are released flesh bags. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the flesh bags we already have are doing such a great job. We need a bunch more of them.
Sometimes there is a great thing to having quantity.
Such as when you're up against 22 droids.
Wave after wave.
Oh, like fodder? Fodder is valuable.
You hear one of the groups go by. TV's gotten pretty good lock on what the protocol droids buzz feels like, but there's one distinct other kind. He hasn't run into this before, but it's another droid on this, but like it's encrypted and just seems really weird. This group of 11 have gone by, and then TV and Kith head out into the corridor. I'm assuming TV has a blaster drawn, pointed at the back of Kith, just
sure.
Fully going with the whole prisoner transfer thing, considering Kith's hands aren't bound.
Yeah, sorry, I left my stun cuffs in my room.
Typical.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I'm kind of wanting to still get a stealth check from Kith and TV. I'm quite okay with it being a group stealth check. It's just I'm wanting to see whether the group of droids ahead of you notices the out-of-sync clanking on the floor behind them. And while TV very quickly gets into rhythm with them,
TV is all about rhythm.
Kith, well, Kith is Kith, not mechanical.
What's your agility, Kith?
Three.
Three, excellent. So we will have two yellow and one green if you want to make the roll.
That being a cunning skill and it being an opposed check, you are going up against...
The cunning or agility?
Well, no, I'm meaning against perception. Perception being a cunning
skill.
Oh,
okay, gotcha.
I am going to go with... I'm feeling that the force is going against you, so it is... Using a destiny point, it is going to be going against one red and two purple.
Okay, one red, two purple, two yellow, one green. Bam. We have ourselves an advantage.
As you said, it seems that TV is kind of marching in step, but it takes Kith a little bit of time to get the rhythm right. TV probably manages to kick her in the shins a couple times.
Well,
and
how
she yelped.
Tall are you?
What's that? How tall am I? How tall is a TV series droid? Probably about 6 foot.
That's it. I'm 5 foot nothing. I might just have trouble because I'm short.
Yeah, so I'd say it's almost like we're dancing badly, where he's like kicking you in the legs and you're stepping on his feet, and we're kind of going down the hall, and that makes a bit of a clang. But we do have an advantage, so I would say maybe at the last second you manage just like to fall in kind of to the side or something, and he gets his gun pointed back at you. So we failed the stealth where we were noticed, but we had enough sense to not look like the Three Stooges entirely when they actually see us.
There are 10 protocol droids, so C-3PO clones, all in their gleaming silver. And they all sort of turn as one as the two groups split down the side. And from the opposite side, one of these sort of blue metalish droids clamps back into TV, where the microphone mouthpiece just sort of lights up. As it's going up in emphasis, the sort of lighting of the mouthpiece goes from bottom to top. As its eyes look out at Kith, with its each of them with three pupiled lights, looking down as this 2-1B surgical droid looks over Kith, its one clawed arm pointing out with a single claw extended, asking TV,
"What are you doing with this meat bag?"
The meat bag was disruptive. I've been ordered to airlock it.
Wait.
All
what?
Right.
I'm improvising.
So someone's wanting to do a deception check, right?
No. This is the truth.
I do have a rank. I figured this was a good time.
But pretty much any way that this is going, it's going to be going against this droids, who seems to be the commander of this squad. I'm figuring that's going against their discipline, which, well, it's nothing major, but it is one red. And a setback, because it can't hear you through the, link.
Kith is thinking, maybe I shouldn't have given them my grenades.
I'm feeling that the Force really doesn't want Kith to be airlocked, and so I'm going to spend a destiny point. And TV is very convincing. He rolls 2 success, a threat, and a triumph for his deception check. The threat coming from the setback. So apparently we are having some communication problems. But yeah, TV just says very authoritatively, "I'm going to airlock this meat sack," and makes a look like, you know, you really should get out of my way. And for the triumph, I'm thinking that the airlock is actually en route and actually passed the place where our gear is stored, so that I'm on the right path and there would be nothing untoward about the direction that we're going.
All right, I can absolutely go with that. Like, this 2-1-B looks between Kith and up to TV, and in one of the most human things that you've ever seen, it just sort of shrugs and turns around, waving its other appendage, which has these three very nasty-looking needles on it, in the air.
I kind of admire them.
And then pointing forward as the protocol droids get into perfectly synchronized step behind it in two columns of five.
We should get going.
You think?
So, yeah, you're able to convince this droid that going from the brig to the airlock to space this one, as there's a maintenance hatch in this direction going down to the hangar, and the idea is that you'd just be opening the maintenance hatch and shoving Kith through at an angle that will get her through the MagCon field.
As they're kind of walking in that way, and he keeps his blaster on her and tries to keep in step to try to avoid any more attention, he says, "I don't intend to airlock you. I'm curious. When the droid aimed his blaster at me, you tackled me to the ground. Why?"
"Because you're part of the team, man, droid. You're one of us."
"Yes, but if I was shot, I could be repaired. If you were shot, you are much more difficult to repair. It was inefficient."
"Well, meat bags aren't known for being efficient."
"I am noticing this as well. I do not understand." But with that, he just kind of looks down at the ground and continues pushing you along to the room where our gear is.
Is this about the stickers? I promise I'll never put stickers on you again without your permission.
The one with the pink horn was somewhat attractive. It matches my paint.
As you are discussing this on your way to your quarters, you're able to get there without any sort of issue at this point. The one question I've got is, are Matu and Nima following along, or what are they up to at this point?
We definitely wanted to be able to provide backup. I definitely think we are in the hallway. I would want us to keep some distance between us and them. That way, we minimize risk of us being seen by droids. And Nima would not call into them. She would expect them to do so when they were kind of in a safe place. Otherwise, we might accidentally give away our ruse or the position. So I kind of see them back down the hallway a little bit. You know, we didn't get close enough where the droids had kind of popped up. Just trying to wait patiently, which is probably easier for one of us than the other.
I know. If you were to listen carefully to Matu, it'd be a lot of almost like a mantra that he's saying to himself in Mandalorian. You probably can't make it out, but no, it's not. He's not quite that goofy when it's in a situation like this. He's very self-focused, and so I think there's a sort of this warrior persona that comes on. He's like he's hunting, and so he's almost like prayer, but not quite. And
is he doing that over the sword he's got?
He's got his rifle out, or the. I think he has the stun rifle right now, but he's definitely very focused.
So he's sort of doing the mantra of stealth?
Yeah, something like that. Something like, it's probably some sort of hunting mantra.
Matu and Nima see Kith and TV go into your quarters, and the rest of the droids keep on stomping. They're droids, so they kind of just sort of stomp all the way. They just keep on going. You can see the door off in the distance to the firing range in the armory. If the two of you want to, you could get down to the other end and get into your quarters so Matu can get into most of his armor.
Yeah. Well, except for the breastplate.
Yeah.
You know, in all this time we've been together, I've never asked who or what are you praying to?
Oh, hold on. I have notes on this.
Of course you do.
I'm just flat out impressed.
I don't know if you'd call it a prayer. Although I don't know if you wouldn't call it a prayer either. But the ancestors of my people, we believe when you pass down weaponry or equipment, especially within the Clan Ordo, that there's some sort of residual spiritualness that goes on. Qualities, wisdom, experience. I would say that if I had to explain it, it's praying to the memories that my sword carries. It's a very old sword, you see. I use the ancient Mandalorian because it helps me focus. That's how I was taught to do it.
And as Matu is explaining that, a small smile appears on Nima's lips. My people do something similar, not through weaponry, but in general, the actions of one Mirialan affect the other ones. Your ancestors have an impact on your life and can offer guidance.
This is interesting. I think Matu really likes Nima a lot, but there's no way he would ever equate a Mirialan and a Mandalorian on the same level at this point in his life. And so he kind of nods and is thankful he has his helmet to sort of hide the ambivalence he feels to this revelation.
Yeah. Meanwhile, to her, that's kind of a cool, oh, okay, I understand you a little bit more, because she thinks we are on the same playing field. She doesn't.
Yeah.
The whole Mandalorian specialness is not something she's dealt with a lot before Matu. So let's gear up.
So yeah, the four of you are now in your quarters. Three of you are gearing up for anything that you've left behind, except for the Mandalorian Beskigar breastplate.
Okay, so I had temporarily reduced my soak to 4, assuming my armor was missing. Would that mean that I am soak up to 5 because I have half my armor?
That's what I was figuring.
Okay, cool.
And you have a brawn of 4? Just double checking?
I have a brawn of 3.
Oh, but you have armor master.
Yes, I do.
That's what's making the difference.
All right, that makes some sense to me now.
And we do the gear switcheroo back. Because if we got our other stuff back, we don't need TVs.
Right, I give the grenade back and the rifle and stuff.
My gun is sweaty.
Just wipe it on your pants. Or his pants.
It's Mandalorian sweat. It requires special chemicals.
As you're doing this, like, getting the underlays on, like, the sneaking, the interaction with the droids, the getting your armors on, getting fully kitted out, this has taken, actually, a fair amount of time. It's at this point that a voice comes over the general comm channel. And you hear this, it sounds related to TV's voice. It's not quite the same, but it does sound related. And it comes through as,
"Rebel operatives and sympathizers, as you've no doubt noticed by now, your air is starting to get thin. If you keep on fighting against us, you will find that your oxygen will be depleted that much faster. But hold no illusions. Your oxygen is running out, for we have need of this ship, but not of its crew."
So as you're trying to get on this armor, like, you have to take the emergency breathing apparatus off and then put it back on. And every time you do, you notice that the air is really thin. Then, as you're doing this, I want to get a resilience check from Kith, from Nima, and from Matu.
I don't know why Kith or Nima would need to take off their masks.
To put on their armor?
Really? Nima's armor is already on. She just has to pick up her shield, her gun belt, and go.
That's all right. I got a ton of resilience. What was it? Average, you said?
Yeah, just an average check.
Right. So I've got 3 green, 2 blue, 2 purple. Oh, that's a hard fail.
Whoa.
That's a 3 failure and a 5 advantage.
All right. And this is actually going to be a mildly weird one. For the moment, like, as you're doing this, the air is thin enough that it actually causes you to strain. It's pretty stressful putting on your armor in combat situations anyway, and this is not helping. Yes, kind of as a kid, you've trained for this, but it's not helping that much. Until your armor's on and you're able to tie in the bottle from the emergency breather into your armor's vac sealing, you take 2 strain damage that just cannot be recovered.
Okay. So you're saying until I find the last piece?
Well, yeah, until it's actually sealed.
Okay. So then what I've got 5 advantages, I want to know where my blast piece is.
It's a lot of advantage.
I can actually think of a really easy way. It is 5 advantages. Maybe the Sergeant Bane already finished with it and dropped it off at your quarters.
That I can definitely go with.
Cool.
Yeah, that is a huge amount of advantage. 5 advantage is a pretty big thing, so yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I re-kit entirely and rub my fingers across where the Wookiee knuckle dents were. I'm very satisfied with the quality of work. I hope he's all right. He's a damn good armorer.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to take another detour. It breaks down this way. I'm guessing that's where they're holding some of our people, at least to keep them out of trouble for the time being. I'm going to check some of the other quarters in the immediate area just to be sure. Then I want to hit the brig. We need to free some more of our people, and the way this is going, we need to go after multiple objectives. And we can't be everywhere at once. We need more men.
I shoulder up my blaster rifle, give a agreeable nod. I'm right behind you, LT.
Nima is going to kind of step up and take point here. And as she's doing so, she has her shield on her arm. It sort of folds up a little bit, sort of for storage or immobility. Sort of the bottom half extends out. That way it covers her from the top of her head all the way down to her knees. And we're going to start moving down the corridor here in the direction of the brig.
Dun, dun, dun.
The 4 of you form up in your most tactical formation that you've had opportunity to use since transferring to the Shadow Raptor. The one thing preying on your mind is the direction you're moving now is the direction from which the droids are coming from. So each step that you're taking is essentially 2 steps towards the next pack of droid. And as you're doing that, I kind of want to get a group stealth check.
TV has 2 ranks.
So does anyone other than TV have stealth?
No. Got a 3 agility. Think we all do.
Okay. All right. So TB has 2 ranks. Kith has 1 rank. And we've got a 3 agility in there somewhere. In like 3-4 different places. All right. So what I'm thinking of with this is, yeah, group stealth check. With, I'm really only going to go with 1 boost die on this because that seems more reasonable. And yeah, it's just...
Well, I figured TV was going to make it given he has the most training. since he's the one who has to basically tell us, like, you know, put your head, you know, get your head down there, go over there, kind of helping to direct us along the way.
And this is going to be much more of an actual stealth role than trying to get in sync with them, because there's, with them coming, where the four of you are essentially relying on TV's droid sense.
My sniper programming.
That too. So, yeah, it's going to be a hard, and I'm seriously figuring that the Force is against you in this. Causing, like...
Spend it back!
Yeah, the four of you are moving against the flow of droids, and, well, you have one clanking set of feet. Well, actually, now you've got two, and a third one that is going to be... that arm, or that shield can accidentally hit things, so I'm actually kind of wanting to go with a setback on that.
Fair enough.
All right. Since the Force is being kind of a jerk today, I'm going to call upon it some more and say it is not our destiny to be captured at this time. And
Brent.
It turns out that the clanking of the shield, we're doing along just fine, but at the last second, that shield hits the side of TV's side and does a large clang, which kind of echoes throughout the halls.
Seriously? Nima? Really? Thought you were a professional.
TV just looks down at Nima and says, seriously?
You got too close.
So as Nima's shield clangs off of TV, the four of you get to the brig. There's five cells on each side of this hallway. Normally they can store three people apiece. This time it looks like they're, well, at least at double capacity, if not more. And at the far end, you see another identical group of droids to the one that TV was able to hoodwink last time. But they spot the four of you as you scatter in behind cover. Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way, and please join us again next week for more wacky hijinks of these heroes. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
If you need to be demoralized, you can follow TV93 at IBrentBrown on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 12th Knight. That's 12th Knight with a K.
And you can find me at LeslitGS. I'm the quiet one.
Hey there, listener. You like Star Wars RPGs? Don't you want to listen to me boss my little brother around with a Star Wars RPG? Then you need to go listen to Silhouette Zero. You can find that at silzero.podbean.com, or you can just follow me on Twitter at silzerochris. That's S-I-L-Z-E-R-O.
We're at thehydianway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
Our podcast is on iTunes and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way.
Or you can send a holocom to heroes@thehydianway.com.
I've been programmed to be loyal to the Rebellion. Formerly, I was programmed to be loyal to the Republic.
Weren't you programmed to be loyal to the Separate?
Oh yeah, I was, wasn't I?
We can't get Star Wars nerds mad at us. They'll kill us.
Great, now you gotta do that all over again.